Today's podcast episode on scarcity versus abundance is one that I really didn't want to record. If I'm being really honest, I think that this is an overly simplified thing that gets thrown around in so many folks' lives, but particularly for folks in business. But after last week's podcast on the value of spending money, I got a lot of feedback about people saying, yes, thank you for addressing scarcity mindset. And I thought it was so interesting because I'm like, I don't think I talked about it. But at any rate, there was a lot of hubbub in my DMs. So I figured I might as well tackle this because this is something you have been asking for. When are you going to talk about scarcity mindset? When are you going to talk about abundance mindset? So today we're going to do that, but with a whole lot of nuance. Welcome to Mind Money Balance, the no guilt, no shame podcast to help you get your mind and money in balance. I'm your host, Lindsay. I'm a financial therapist and coach, woman of color, and popcorn connoisseur. I am so glad you're here. Let's go. In general, when we talk about abundance mindset versus scarcity, the basic way that I can boil it down is the idea that abundance really means there's more than enough, there's plenty, and scarcity is the opposite. There isn't enough, there is less than enough for me. But like many Pinterest adjacent quotes, quote, have an abundance mindset, unquote, isn't nuance, and it certainly doesn't include things about spiritual bypassing. I think so many people in the entrepreneurial space love to shame people for having this quote unquote scarcity mindset when the reality is it makes sense to have fears. So there's a lot of noise out there about an abundance mindset being a choice, and the abundance mindset is about positivity and turning weaknesses into opportunities and turning negative thoughts into positive ones. But I don't think it's that simple, and I certainly think there's a lot of gaslighting that can happen with abundance versus scarcity mindset. So I know I said I was like, oh, I don't really want to do this podcast, but I think a more helpful thing, instead of saying, oh, you have a scarcity mindset, you have to click your heels and think happy thoughts, is to actually go, what's underneath this thing that is being marketed as scarcity mindset? And I really think it's something bigger. And that's fear. It's not about having unhappy thoughts or negative thoughts, because both of those things are normal and important in everyday life. We're not always going to be happy. We're not always going to have great days. But at the end of the day, what we want to have is more neutral or good days than bad. And when it comes to this idea of abundance versus scarcity, what I think deserves talking about is, where are these fears coming from? And are those fears things you can do something about? And what are the fears really rooted in? Some of them are rooted in very real problems with our system, with our work, with the society in which we live. And some of them you may have more choice over. But it is not all about having an abundance mindset, which makes you happy and motivated and eager, and having a scarcity mindset that makes you sad and depressed and overwhelmed. Like, that is just so, so ridiculous. So I'm actually going to talk about the fear of a lot of things in business, particularly in private practice for care providers, since that's what I do. So while I'm going to be talking about scarcity mindset in business, I'm actually going to be talking about five specific fears that are mindset related that have to do with things that keep private practice providers from trusting themselves and from doing what I know they're often capable of in their businesses. So the five fears that I see come up that are often lumped into scarcity mindset are a fear of marketing, fear of charging for services, fear of others' opinions, fear of change or risk, and finally, the fear of starting a business. So let's start with the first one, a fear of marketing or a fear of being seen. So many care providers say to me, Lindsay, I'm not comfortable on Instagram. I don't want to be on Facebook. I don't want to be on TikTok. I don't even want to put my picture on my website. there is so much indoctrination in caregiving fields where we feel like we have to hide behind jargon-heavy language or the certificates or the letters behind our names. We don't want to come across as bragging or as brash or as, God forbid, salesy. So we hide. And what I often work with my clients on is marketing is actually a gift when it is done well and when it is done right. It is about helping other people who need you, who are struggling, who are looking for guidance to say, hey, there's somebody out there who gets people like me and knows how to help people like me. So if we can reframe marketing from being salesy and icky into being a space of showing up and being known for folks that you can help, that makes a huge difference. And the other piece of this fear of marketing is this fear of being seen. And when I think about that, I really think that's the fear of vulnerability. And I think this is often tied into things like imposter syndrome. Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I a capable enough clinician? This is where I think so many people in therapy and adjacent fields get caught up in chasing down more certifications and chasing down more continuing education courses because they don't trust themselves. They think that they need to read another book. They need to attend another training. They need to do all of these things because they don't trust the capacity of healing and growth and change that they already are gifted with or already have. So there's this fear of saying, yes, I'm a mindfulness-based practitioner, and then wondering, but am I really that mindful? I didn't meditate today. I didn't, you know, take 5 deep breaths when I took my sip of tea today. And all of this imposter syndrome and judgment that can certainly come along with it. So that is a huge thing, this fear of marketing and this fear of being seen. And I would invite you, if you're finding yourself in that space, to address both pieces. This piece of really actually going out there and having your name and face be heard. And then also the vulnerability piece. Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I capable enough? And addressing both of those either in journaling, in therapy, or doing a little bit of exposure therapy for yourself, just putting yourself out there and seeing what happens. So that's the first big mindset fear I see come up in private practice providers is this fear of marketing. And the other thing I'll say for folks who are saying, wait, but you didn't talk about this idea of not wanting to be on Facebook or TikTok or, you know, whatever the social media trend of the day is. And I will tell you, you don't need all of them. You need one or two really good ways for people to find you. Most people use Google. Think of the last thing you purchased and tell me you didn't type it into Google first. Seriously. Most people turn to Google. They type in things like struggling with body image, or they type in things like eating disorder therapist near me. And that's where having a beautiful and hardworking website can do some of that heavy lifting for you. And it doesn't require the day-to-day maintenance and reactivity that so many social media platforms do. So if you're like, I don't want to be on Facebook, good news, you don't have to be. I haven't been on Facebook since February of 2021, and it hasn't been a problem. In 2021, I took 2.5 months off of Instagram, deleted the app, wasn't in my DMs, wasn't posting. My business grew, and I have a waitlist of 60-something clients at the time of this recording. So yes, it's definitely possible. All right, I digress. Fear number 2. Fear of charging for services. This is a big one. It's tied into money mindset. It's tied into guilt. And I think oftentimes it's tied into survivor guilt for folks who are care providers, because we often feel like if we are doing okay financially, then we feel bad about it because we realize that the system is fucked and that we live in a capitalistic society where things are not divided up in a way that allows every single human to thrive. And we feel bad about that. And so to compensate for that, we slide our scale, we don't charge late cancellation fees, we don't charge no-show fees, and we generally try and fix the system by ourselves, by wringing ourselves dry in the process, financially speaking. And that is not okay. We have to charge money for the work that we do, and there is a way to do it that is not exploitative and that is not harmful. I don't think the answer is go out there and 5x your prices. Unless you're charging $20 an hour, then maybe you do need to 5x your prices. I don't think the answer is get off of every single insurance panel. I don't think the answer is get certified or get licensed in a state that reimburses more. I think the answer is, because this is what I've done since I've started my private practice on my own and what I help people inside my coaching program do, I think the answer is figure out how much money you need to thrive, how much money you need to be generating so that you can take care of your business, cover your life's expenses, and have a generous amount of overflow to pour into your community, to pour into causes that matter to you, and to pour into dreams. There's nothing wrong with saying, oh, instead of taking, you know, a long weekend, I actually want to take 2 months off. I want to take a really luxurious sabbatical and getting comfortable doing that. Charging money for services is different than wringing people out through exploitative capitalism. When we think about ethically charging people for the work that we provide, I want you to think about, am I doing something that I'm good at? Am I doing something that is serving others? And am I doing something that pays me well? The intersection of those three is the way that you can ethically charge a substantial and sustainable fee. Substantial and sustainable is going to be different for me than it is for you. Certain people are charging upwards of $300 for services, and that feels sustainable for them because they know their numbers. For other people, they might not need to be charging that much. So this fear is that you won't be able to charge that much. And this fear is that there aren't enough clients out there to pay the price needed in order for you to be able to be a good therapist. And being a good therapist means practicing financial self-care. Because when you practice financial self-care, you can take care of yourself emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, and when you do all of those things, you can show up much more resourced and grounded to provide quality treatment to and with your clients. So this idea that there aren't enough people out there just simply isn't true. When we look at the numbers of how many people live in our state or in our county, since so many of us are doing remote work now, and we think about how many of them need help, and we know the reality is over the past 2 years, the need for mental health care and allied services has gone through the roof, doubly so for marginalized groups, particularly people who are in global majorities racially, are in religious minorities, are disabled, are neurodivergent. Those are people who definitely need additional help. And it is so important that if you know how to do that, and if you know how to treat people in those areas, goes back to that fear of marketing and fear of being seen, then you can absolutely charge a sustainable rate. And there are many creative ways outside of sliding your scale and doing pro bono work to give back and to be accessible in your work. But that's another big scarcity thing that comes up. The third scarcity mindset or fear is the fear of other people's opinions. I think a lot of it comes down to the fear of failure in business. This idea that if you tell other people you're starting your own private practice, how true is it that you'll be able to keep it up? What happens if other people think that I'm taking the easy way out? And it's just so, so sad that we have these thoughts, but it happens a lot, the fear of other people's opinions, especially if we are moving from a societally prestigious job, such as like being a professor of psychology at a prestigious academic institution. That can feel really scary to going from being a professor and having a professorship into private practice. It can be really scary to go from being a manager at a large healthcare system or at a large agency and moving into private practice because other people's opinions might be clouding your judgment that you know what you need to take care of yourself. And this is where I'll say that practicing some self-generosity can be really, really beneficial, which is to say, to be overly simplistic, it's to say other people's opinions of you really don't matter. I mean, there are a handful of people whose opinions of you you should care about, right? Some of your chosen family, partners, things like that. those people's opinions obviously matter. But like Sue across the street, no offense, her opinion of whether you work for yourself or whether you work in an academic research institution is really irrelevant. Okay. The fourth fear that often gets tied up in this idea of scarcity mindset is the fear of change or the fear of risk. And I think this really has some true roots in reality. I mentioned at the top of this episode that scarcity mindset is more than just happy thoughts, like happy thoughts versus sad thoughts. It's also the reality that we live where I am recording from on occupied land of the Fox, Peoria, Wyandotte, and Anishinaabe peoples, AKA currently known as Michigan. Our healthcare is tied to whether or not we have a job. Oftentimes our retirement is tied to whether or not we have a job. We literally cannot take care of ourselves mentally, physically, health-wise if we don't have health insurance. In other parts of the world, they have global or state-provided healthcare. That doesn't exist here. So it's expensive to cover your insurance. And that is a very real change and a very real risk. And I think when you figure out how much it costs to purchase insurance and to cover yourself, that you can build into that fear number two of how do I charge for services and make sure that when you are including a fee, that you are also including the ability to pay for your healthcare coverage. There's just a general fear of change too that I think comes up. And I think over the past 2 years, we've really been subjected to so many changes and our capacity to be nimble and dynamic is really worn down to like nothing right now. So it also makes sense if you're like, I don't know if I can do a career change. But I also think, shoot, if you're burned out at an agency, at a hospital, at a school, now's the time really to go into private practice, or if you have a private practice on the side, to really lean into it. Because I get email offers, I get letters in the mail all the time, I get LinkedIn notifications all the time of people saying, don't you want to come back and work at this inpatient setting? Don't you want to come here and work in this outpatient setting? We're giving you a $500 bonus or a $1,000 bonus. And it's like that $500 or $1,000 is not worth the price of my peace. Okay. And that's why I'm in private practice among many, many, many other things. But that I could see if that fear of risk was so high when I was in private practice and I was getting all of these mailings that are saying we're desperate for good, competent social workers. Please come back into a traditional career. I could see how that would sound really enticing. But for me, where I'm at, it's so much better. To be in control of my schedule, to be in control of who I see, how long I see them for, making sure that I'm seeing aligned clients, getting to use the creative side of my brain by way of things like this, my podcast, my writing. That feels so much better than having a caseload of like 85 people and working 60 hours a week and getting unpaid time off and having to earn time off just feels exhausting. Like my body, I know it's on a podcast, you can't see me, but my body's literally collapsing as I think about it. So this fear of change is very, very real. But I also want you to think about if you're fearing leaning into investing more in your private practice, what about this fear? What about the fear of shit staying the exact same? Can you tolerate your current job if it does not change? And that might help you to lean a little bit more into the trusting of yourself to bet on yourself and to invest in yourself and to invest in your business energetically, financially, whatever it means for you. The fifth and final fear that I see that is often lumped into this idea of scarcity mindset is the fear of the starting a business part, the fear of the business side of private practice. This often sounds like, do I have to get a lawyer? Do I have to get an accountant? How am I gonna pay my rent? When am I gonna set my schedule? How am I going to take time off? How am I gonna afford health insurance? All of the logistics side of starting a business come up. And if that part of your brain that is wired in fear and is setting off alarm bells is going off, it's going to say, this is too dangerous. Go back to traditional work where you have some of these things built in. And what I would say to that, if you are really serious about being a full-time care provider or growing your care provider business, is that to get where you are which is likely, well, 16 to 18 years of education, probably 2 to 4 years of an internship, externship, practicum, residency, many, many, many hours of tests, of reading, of continuing education. You have the capacity to understand how to run a business. And even if you don't know the intricacies of everything, you have the capacity to hire somebody whom it is their specialty. AKA, I'm not a lawyer, so I hired a lawyer to make sure that my paperwork was good to go when I started my private practice. I'm not an accountant. As much as I love talking about money and the ins and outs of money, I'm not a CPA. I don't know tax laws and tax codes. I have layman's understandings of that. So I use Herd Accounting. You've probably heard me talk about them on the podcast before. I had Andrew Reason on this time last year to talk about tax deductions and to talk about what Herd Accounting is. Those are things that you can get additional help on. And I talk about this too, allow the robots to do the heavy lifting. This is why I have automatic scheduling. If you want to have a phone call with me, I'm going to send you a link instead of emailing you back 1,000 times. If a client needs to cancel, they don't have to worry about texting me or calling me. They can just go into the client portal and cancel. When it comes to submitting claims to insurance, I have everything is built into Simple Practice, which is the electronic health record that I use. P.S. I will put a $100 discount code in the show notes of this episode. If you are thinking about switching to Simple Practice, I have used them since I went out on my own in April of 2020. LOL, timing. And I love the simplicity of them. I love the customer service of them, et cetera, et cetera. I will link that there. And they have so many built-in robots that I can't tell you how much I love it. I like billing takes me literally 20 minutes a month. It used to take me 2 to 4 hours a week before I use them. Exhausting. So anyway, the fears of starting a business, all that to say, you have the capacity to understand the ins and outs of business, and you also have the capacity to know what is within your wheelhouse and what you probably need guidance on if it is outside of your scope of practice. So again, the big fears that I see often lumped under this scarcity mindset is the fear of marketing or the fear of being seen, fear of charging for services, fear of others' opinions, fear of change or risk, and the fears of the logistics side of starting a business. So I hope that going over this today helps you to see that some of those fears are very real. Some of those fears can be tweaked using some logic, using some mindset work, but it is not about saying, if I want a 7-figure practice, all I have to do is sit on a meditation cushion and think about it really hard. And if I don't think hard enough, then it's my own fault that I didn't get a 7-figure business. No, abundance versus scarcity is a little Pinterest quote that is not nuanced and deserves more of a nuanced approach. Yes, it's important to say there's more than enough to go around, and it's also important to acknowledge the very real systemic things and the very real fears that may be going on that make it difficult for you to trust yourself in private practice or in your business. And if you are a private practice provider, and that includes allied healthcare professionals, acupuncturist, Reiki healer, energy worker, massage therapist, and you are like, yes, Lindsay, those are the things I'm scared of in my business. I need help. I need guidance. I would invite you to take a look at my 5-month small group coaching program, Grow a Profitable Practice from the Inside Out. It is cohort-based, meaning that 12 people will be in it alongside you. Everything is taught by me except for 3 guest experts who are going to come in and help us with niching, SEO, and resourcing yourself and taking care of yourself. It's 5 spacious months. This program started out as an 8 or 9 week program and has since been extended to 5 months because what I've learned is that we need time to implement. Information can be really overwhelming, really scary, and almost kind of put us in this fight, flight, or freeze thing where we are frozen and can't actually take sustained action. So by spacing it out and offering more spaciousness, I found that the participants are better able to implement what we are talking about. In the 5 months together, we will dig into your money story stuff. We will make sure that you have a fee that is generous to you and to your community. We will make sure you know how to uphold your boundaries so that that fee actually does continue to work for you. We'll figure out the foundations of marketing, something that is sustainable, something that feels good for you, and learn about niching and search engine optimization from two of my guest experts. And we will cap it all off with a lot of time and space for connection, support, questions and answers, and co-creation. You are not going to be dropped into a sea of hundreds of thousands of people or tens or hundreds of video modules and be swimming around lost. Every single thing is going to be live. And if you can't make it live, it is recorded and available for you later. I learn better live. I found a lot of people learn better live. And I also know that people live busy lives and can't make every single thing live, which is why everything is recorded and available for participants indefinitely. If that small group coaching program sounds good to you, head to my website, mindmoneybalance.com/profitable practice to list everything you need to know about the program, including the investment, including the payment plan options, including a bonus if you apply before January 21st of 2022. There is so much stuff in this program. You probably heard it a few episodes ago when I did a read through of that webpage, but if you haven't, you can check that out. Thanks so much for being here. See you next week.
Neither the host or guests are rendering legal, accounting, clinical, medical, or other professional information. If you want professional help, please seek it out.